Hello, and welcome to another great episode of the Lifecast. This week it's Easter Sunday, and Pastor Randy is sharing us a message about the power of the resurrection. We trust you will enjoy the Lifecast.
You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm just going to make reference to him. I'm going to have you turn somewhere else. I'm going to have you look at the Gospel of Luke 24. So I'm going to have you turn, Luke 24, but, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, talks to us about God's Word and the authenticity of God's Word and how God's Word is how we're supposed to approach God's Word and understand the purpose of God's Word. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, that all Scripture is God-breathed. And we know that God's breath brought life to humanity. I mean, his breath has life in it. So when we look at the Scripture, these words are living. They are not words that were said and then they died. These words that he spoke, God's Word, the Scripture, it has life in them, which means when we read it, when we hear it, It something happens. There's something moving. There's something active, something living that we can find in that. So when we look at Scripture, it's there to bring life to us, to instruct us. Chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Timothy says, it's there to instruct us, to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us. It's there to bring life to us. His Word, you'll find it in other places, His Word, how it brought life to our bones, or Old Testament parallel would be to our soul, to our mind, to our emotions, the place where all our passions meet, where we deal with life issues. It's in that place that God's Word brings life to us. That's how we're supposed to approach God's Word. Now, when we look at Scripture and we read it, and I find this for myself many times, and I'm thinking, you know, you and I, we have some similarities. We certainly have some differences. Some of you are thanking God for that. I understand. But you know what? We have some similarities. Though we have faith in Christ, or we're trying to discover this faith in Christ, or, you know, is this really true? What is Jesus like? And we go to the Scripture and we read it. It's like we remove ourselves from when it was written. And certainly we don't live in that time frame of humanity and when it was written. But according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I'm supposed to read this as if it is an account given to me today, right now, where I live. You see, when you receive something in the mail, a letter, or for those of you who are, you know, 35 and younger, when you receive something on your computer, or email, I want to cover everybody. You read what's on that page, you read what's on that computer screen, you read that, and you look at that as if you're living in the moment that they're telling you. You don't read it like it's some book of ancient history. It would be like someone's telling you a story. They're giving you a testimony or an account of something that just happened in their life. It's going to be like my daughter emailing or writing home from college when she leaves. Let's not talk about that. Bad example. But when she sends me that email or that letter, saying, the other day in class, on campus, and oh, by the way, I met this, never mind that, you know, and goes through, I'm going to be living on that campus, envisioning this, because it's something that's unfolding. And then she's going to tell me about how nice and how warm it was there and stuff. And she's going to, and I am going to capture that, and it's like, yes, and it's like I'm living this moment that she's sharing with me. I'm not looking at it as some document from history that I'm so removed from. P.S., Dad, I love you, send money. You know, I'm sure, you know, right? That's how it happens. It's okay. Notice how the I love you part comes before they ask for money. It's, oh. I want us to look at the scripture this morning as if this was a best friend, Luke, your physician, your family doctor, okay? Because that's what Luke was. He's a doctor, intelligent man. And he's writing to us an account. I want you to hear this morning as if your family physician, who you trust, who you have known, who has watched you give birth to your children and caught them and has given you medical advice and has done house calls, and somebody you've trusted, somebody you've known, a friend, is writing you this letter, not some stranger. That's how we have to approach this passage. He's writing to us. And he says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. That's like, I want you to, no, you're still not there. It's got to be like, I bump into Jim, he's at the bakery and coming out with donuts, and I'm going in to get some. This is a pretty realistic situation, scenario. And I bump into Jim, hey, how you doing, Jim? Hey, good, how you doing, Randy? Hey, listen, the other morning, very early, I got to tell you this story. And as he starts that, I'm there, right? Not like, oh, hey, listen, I read this book that was written, you know, 750 years ago. It's like, forget it, dude, I'm lost. Just give me the donuts. That's how we've got to approach this, because it is here for us to take into our lives. God's breathing. These words are still living. So when we read it, it's, you know, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Are you there? This is like somebody's telling you this account that they just happened in their life, and they bumped into you and said, I got to tell you this. The other day, early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They went to where Jesus was buried after the crucifixion, and they put him in this tomb. They got the spices ready, and they went to go to the tomb. Check this out. Very early, the other morning, they're on their way. All of that's in that first half of the verse. They found the stone rolled away at the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Jim, you won't believe this. The other day when the women went with the spices to the tomb, get this, they show up, and Jesus isn't in the tomb, Jim. Now, we just saw him crucified. We walked with him. We saw him do miracles. Get this, they go to the tomb. He's not there. Almost like it's a punchline. That's how we've got to look at this. That's how we've got to read this word. This is not just some old document of history. This is the word that still lives. It's got like live organisms of his spirit in it to penetrate our life situation. It gives us victory and help and hope. This isn't just giving us some account. There's something in here for us, that we can take God's word that is breathed, and I can learn from it, and I can apply it to life. And he works in his word in my life and in our life to prepare us for every good thing that we're supposed to do in his name. That's the last part of verse 16 in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. Jim, they showed up. He wasn't there. They didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, these two gleaming guys were standing there with them. Dude, they were angels. They saw angels, Jim. Standing with you. Drop your donuts and, you know, yeah. Gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? These women show up. Jesus isn't there. These two angels are there. They get scared, Jim. I don't know what I would have done. I may have fell dead. They go down to their knees, and they're looking for Jesus. And the angels say to them, these gleaming guys, tall, good-looking guys, had hair, not like Pastor Aaron. I had to get my shot back from earlier in the service when he took it. Flowing hair. And they say to these women, Jim, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And they understand Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He rose again. He's out of the tomb. He came forth. Death couldn't hold him. It had to spit him back. Couldn't take him because he's alive and has all authority and power. This is the story. I mean, this is greater than the fish story. I caught a walleye. It was 100 pounds. It's that kind of passion that is in these pages. That kind of passion has got to be translated through time to where I live, like I'm hearing this from a friend who was there because they were. The story and account might be old, but it's still living and is fresh and has power to transform our lives. This is where our hope is. Where else are you going to go for the forgiveness of sins? Where else can we go to find our way to heaven? It says in the scripture that no one goes into the Father in heaven except through his Son, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. That's where the good news is. That's where the hope is. Without the resurrection, we can't have it. Without the resurrection, Jesus was a nice man who died on the cross, deceived many, never rose again. He was not who he said he was, and humanity is lost in its corruption, never to be redeemed. No hope. No hope, no power beyond ourselves. But the resurrection proves and shows that Jesus Christ came by the love of the Father to redeem us, to save us, to work in our lives right here on earth, and that there is a life after what we call death. There's hope. There's an eternity. And you and I are going to have the opportunity to face it. One day, we will have our opportunity. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They said to these women. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? Then they went, oh yeah, we remember his words. It's kind of like when I show up at home. Hey, how's everybody's day? Hi, Sue. Hi, did you remember to... You... I'll be back. It was that kind of, I just remembered, I forgot. They just said, we remember, we forgot, but now we recall it. That's right, he did say that. He said he'd be into the hands of sinful men. Yes, and that he would be crucified. And on the third day, he'd raise again. That is what he said. Hey, what day is it? Hey, it happened. Hey, oh, wow, Jesus is alive. He is the Son of God. And the revelation came, and it began to change their whole life, the way they live this life. Not just, well, I guess I just go through this life and, you know, just kind of believe in Jesus, and when I die, you know, then I get to go and be happy then. Here's an interesting verse here that the angels say to these women. It says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? That phrase just jumps off the page at me. I believe the Spirit of the Lord just brought it off the page and just right into my heart, right into my life. I'm going to share it with you. It's this. There are people all around us who are looking for this thing called life. They're looking for something better than what they have. They're looking for something greater, something more meaningful. Where's the purpose? How do I make it through this tough situation? How do I make it through this thing called life? I want to have a better life. And then they bump into Christians. And I wonder if it could be said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? We as Christians have to be full of this life so that when they are looking for life, they see it in us.
They see it in you. They see you face the same kind of difficulties that everyone else faces. And yet in you, there's some kind of life and hope. When they come into this church, they're looking for something, except for maybe those who are dragged here by a relative. It is Easter. Right? I mean, it happens. That's okay. I'm not offended by that. You know what? And they come in, and they're looking for something. They're looking for life. They're looking for something to bring them peace and direction and hope and some vibrancy, something to resurrect the hope that was lost through taking the beatings, through life experiences. When they come, or when they bump into us, are they looking for life? And when they walk out or leave us, they say, well, you know, why was I looking for life there? You know, they seem to be dead themselves. This is the church. We are disciples. We are followers of Christ. When people are looking for life, it should not be said to them by the hosts of heaven, why are you looking for life among the dead? No, why are you looking for life here? You're going to find it among the living, those who believe in Jesus Christ, because that's the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can dwell in you. It's the same Spirit, the Spirit of life, that people can find life in Jesus Christ in you. This is not pie in the sky. It sounds too good to be true, but God is good. And he is full of truth and grace. I don't know what you face in this room. I don't know if you were just told this week that you're facing some terminal disease. I don't know if you have some relationship that is so valuable it's breaking up. I don't know if you're in a relationship that seems to be a dead end, but you're just hanging on and coasting through life. I don't know what you faced this last week on break off of school. I don't know what you're encountering at the job. I don't know if you lost your job. Whatever it is, Jesus Christ is the one who brings hope and direction. He can make something good happen out of nothing. How do you think he created? It was all void, and he spoke, he breathed, and it brought creation and life. He can do that for us because he rose from the dead. He conquered the grave and sin and hell and death. He gives us a hope. It gives us a future. Not just an eternity, but the life that we now live. There are people looking for life. They need to find it among the living. Oh boy, I don't know. Where's my sermon notes? I'm kidding you. Why don't you go a little further? Luke 24. This is after Jesus is raised from the dead, and after these women have encountered the angelic beings. There are these two fellas. They're walking from Jerusalem. Okay? It's called the Road to Emmaus. They're walking along this road from Jerusalem. They're talking about this man Jesus who was crucified, what happened in the city, all the turmoil, all of this stuff. And Jesus is walking this same road after he was crucified. Okay? Now he was buried, he rose again, and he's walking this road, and he bumps into these two guys. He says, what are you guys talking about? And then they begin to tell him what they're talking about. They don't know that it's Jesus. Well, don't you know? I mean, they look at him like, where have you been? Man, this is the stuff that happened in Jerusalem. Let me tell you, blah, 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 blah. And they start to tell him. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, but, and he begins to explain some things to them. And they're like, oh, yeah, neat. Well, they get to where they're going in their little village, and they are turning off to go home, and Jesus gives them the impression that he's going to continue going. And they say to Jesus, you know, it's late, it's getting dark. Why don't you come to our house? Why don't you stay with us? Now let's take a look at the scripture. As they, verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them in their home, okay, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to eat it with them, or gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when we talked to him on the road? He opened the scriptures to us. Once again, Jesus is seen. Here's the interesting thing. I want you to catch this. They did not recognize it was Jesus until they invited him to come in. It's when we invite him. All right, come in. All of this revelation, all of this understanding, all of this recognizing begins to just flood into us. And we go, oh, I get it. Because it takes faith to be saved. It is by God's grace that you are saved through faith. When we express faith, God responds. God has been drawing us and drawing you. When I say drawing, I mean trying to get us closer to him. He wants us to invite him. He wants us to respond to him. He's willing to walk down the road of life with us. But until we invite him in, it's like this revelation doesn't hit our soul. But at the moment where we respond to him and say, come in. You heard it. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Come in. You might be in this place today and you think, well, you know, I'm not so sure about the whole God thing and Jesus thing. And, you know, I'm just going to check it out. You know, if he could really prove himself to me, then I... You invite him in with sincerity and you're going to have all the proof and revelation of God just start pouring into your life. You're going to begin to look at this life very differently. You're going to understand what life is about, and it's going to continue to unfold, and you're going to understand more and more, and he's going to walk with you through life, but you're going to have somebody who's walking with you, who knows you're coming and going, and you're rising, and you're sitting down, and in the contemplations of your heart and the things you wrestle with to speak or breathe into us this life because he conquered death. He walked through this life without sin. It was the moment that they responded and invited him to come in that they began to recognize, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the one who died on the cross. He's alive! Maybe you heard the gospel a long time ago and it sounded dead to you. Maybe you've gone through life and you've tried to exalt the situations of life as if they had more of a reality than the reality of God. Your human philosophy and your human thinking, it gets in the way. It's a struggle for every one of us. When we respond in faith and we invite him and we ask him in where he's wanting to come, where he's standing and knocking, where he's trying to strive with us through life and reveal himself until we respond with faith. At that moment, recognition hits your soul. You begin to understand things. You begin to know things. You begin to recognize him. That this is not a gospel that's dead. This is the good news. And there isn't hope found anywhere else except for in Jesus Christ, the risen one. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, where, O death, is your victory?
Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus conquered. Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, I believe it was chapter 14. He said, he's telling his disciples that he's leaving. He's going to be leaving. He says, I'm going, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Where I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, surely then one day I will come to take you to be with me in the place I have made for you. If this was not true, I would not have told you so. When they understood that Jesus raised from the dead, all of these things they remember Jesus saying flooded to the forefront of their mind. And when they understood that Jesus rose from the dead, that also means that he really did go prepare a place for me and that he's going to come back and I get to go be with him again. All the hope, all the vibrancy of life, all the trivial things that get us weighed down in this life, just everything, all the axe to the root of those things, they just shriveled up and died because this new revelation came of hope that we always hang on to, that life that is within us because we believe upon him who rose from the dead, who gives hope to humanity, a promise, not a false hope. The disciples understood if he's going to prepare a place for me and he rose from the dead, that means he really is going to prepare a place for me. Woo! I'm tired of the house I'm living in. You know? Because where he's preparing a place, moths don't eat anything. And rust doesn't corrupt anything. Yeah. It's forever. And it's for real. And it's in this life that we are to express that faith in Christ. Not the kind of faith that says, oh, I believe you rose from the dead. But the kind of faith that says, because you rose from the dead, I want that same spirit to live in me. And those things that have died in me, the good things, the dreams, the desires, the whatever those things are to you, Jesus, let that same spirit rise up within me, live in me, resurrect some of the prayers that I gave up on. Resurrect life in me. Because I've been taking a beating in this life. I'm bruised, I'm beaten, I'm broken. I can't even handle the simple things on some days because all the energy is sapped from me. Look for the living among the living. Jesus, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Let him breathe on you. Let him bring life to you. Right in the situations you face. He will give you a strength and a life and a vitality of his spirit that will cause you to handle things greater than you ever thought you could handle. You walk through it because he walks with you. He walks in you. I don't know what you face, but he does. And he's got a hope in the future for you. So you know what that tells me? That whatever you're facing now will pass. If he gives you a future, that means whatever we face now is going to pass. You follow? Whatever you face today is going to be history. You feel like it's going to take your life. But because of your faith in Christ, where, O death, is your victory? When it's all said and done, and we're here having your funeral, or the rapture comes. Takes all his believers. Dead in Christ will rise first. And those who are still living on this earth who believe upon Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to go next. I have to think about that. Do I want to go second or do I want to go first? I want to go first. It means I got to die first. Yeah, maybe second's looking good. This is a side note. You can deal with that on your own. When it's all said and done, if because of your faith in Christ and all the trials, all the tribulations, all the difficulties, all the things you went through in this life are over, and they no longer can taunt you, they can no longer wreak havoc on you like they do now, where today if something says, hey, what about yesterday? Remember what you did. Oh, you weren't so great the other week. Oh, look how you grew up. Look how your parents treated you. Look how you went through. Oh, you just never amounted to anything. Oh, you just have this job. And oh, you... all that stuff that just wreaks havoc on our soul. You keep your faith in Christ. Let him bring that life in you. Free you from that in this life and bring you into the next life. Eternity in heaven. When it's all said and done, when this life is all said and done, that you will be able to stand on the balcony of heaven and rejoice in Christ and say this, where, O death, was your victory? Because in Jesus, I made it. He brought me here. He prepared a place for me. Because he's had you, on his mind and his heart. God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. The very thing that separates us from God. And Jesus was the answer. He paid for the sins that we couldn't pay for. Not only did he pay for them in the shedding of his blood on the cross, he picked up his life again to say, see, this is for real. Your sins are paid for, and I give you life. You believe upon me. It is by faith that you are justified. It is by faith in Christ that you are justified. Yeah, but my history says all this stuff against me. Hey, hello, it's the good news. That your history can be under the blood of Jesus Christ. And by faith in him, you are justified, approved of. It's the good news, remember? Oh, that I can't believe that. That's something good that happened to me. I was told that nothing ever good would happen to me. Ah! Cancel it! All the phrases, all the statements, I don't care who gave them to you. They're canceled, man. Jesus said, I got good news for you. It's me, Jesus said. It's me. It's found in me. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, came here to rescue us and say, here's some good news. Because you've been facing bad news all your life. You were born into it. You know what? If you stay on that track, that's your destination. But we want you over here. So I'm going to step in and give you opportunity to believe so you don't have to go there. You can be over here. That's the good news. Simple terms. I don't know how you feel about your life. I'll tell you what, there's days I feel good about my life and there's other days I'm so disappointed in me or whatever. And sometimes I can wake up disappointed in me. I didn't even do anything wrong yet. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay? I can wake up and go, and it wasn't like guilt from the day before. I can just wake up and go, It's not about feeling. It's the fact that Jesus Christ gave me life. And before my feet hit the floor, I got to remember, he gave me hope. If I commit my way to him, he'll direct my steps today. And yesterday's gone. It's about today and about the future hope he gives us. That is all found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's why we have Easter. It's why we say he is risen. Because it's full of hope. Full of hope. I don't know what your history tells you. I'm just telling you, your history can be history. And you might remember your history, but through Jesus Christ, you do not have to live under the influence of your history into today and into tomorrow. That's the great news. You can remember it, but you don't have to live under the influence of it because you are under the influence of the Spirit of life, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You are saved. You're forgiven. Life begins to change. Oh, you're going to, hey, We are still going to, you know, I'm not prophesying doom, but Jesus made provision for this. We're going to still learn. We're going to still, he's going to unfold. We're still going to trip up. We're still going to stumble, all those kind of things. But we've got someone to go to. Praise his name. Wow. People who told me I was never going to make it. I'm going to make it. That's good news. Turn to the person next to you and say, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to make it. Tell them, I don't care if you're visiting this morning. Turn to somebody and say, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to make it. Tell somebody. Some of you are not moving. If nobody's sitting near you, you're going to have to, like, you know, hey, if you believe. Listen, let somebody else tell you good news. Somebody near you, somebody you know, somebody you trust. That's the hope of the resurrection. This is what I'd like us to do in this place. I'd like us all to stand, please. When you stand, I'd like you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head. To close your eyes and bow your head. I want this, though we're in a crowd, I want you to have a moment of privacy because I respect you. I respect your decision. But when you hear a message of the gospel, anytime Jesus spoke, like he's speaking through his word and his spirit to you this morning in this place, anytime he spoke, it always brought people to a place where they made decisions about what he said or who he was. What say you? When you contemplate within your own heart at this moment the reality of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loving us so much that he gave his life without us asking for it. He just did it because he loved you. That's a reality. And he was crucified, shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sin, your sin, our sins. And then raised himself back to life after conquering death and hell. He knows how to pass on to life. And if I believe in him, he's going to show me how. You're sorry for your sins. You don't... You know what? We already carry guilt and shame from the stuff we've done wrong. That's just God saying, you know what? There's a better way. You can be forgiven all that. So if you're in this room this morning as you contemplate the reality of Jesus Christ, don't start to say, well, I'm not worth it, or I didn't do good enough for God. Listen, this isn't based on how good you are. This is based on how good Jesus is. You're here, and you've not asked Jesus to come into your life. Like those two guys walking down the road, they invited him to come into their home. And you've never invited him into the home of your heart. And you want the revelation of Jesus' forgiveness of sins. You want to recognize the life that he's truly trying to give you. He wants to bring you into it. This internal work, the work within us. You realize you have limitations. You can't just handle and make all this happen on your own. You need help. That's what I had to come to. I need his help, his love. So if you're in this room and you've never asked Jesus, you've never invited him in, or you're here and you invited him in a long time ago, but when you invited him in, he just got ignored. And you want to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to ignore you anymore. I want you to come in again to my life, vibrant, new, fresh. If you're either one of those people, I want to include you in a closing prayer. That's what I want to do. okay? But I want to know who I'm praying for. That's why I had everybody close their eyes and just bow their head. If you're here and you're saying, I need to invite Jesus in again, or I need to invite him in for the first time, I need to invite him in for the first time, I want you to include me in this prayer, Pastor. You just slip your hand up where it is. I'll see it, and you can put it back down so I can know who I'm praying for. I see your hands. Yep, yes, yes. Yes. Anybody else? Slip your hand up quick. Say, I want to invite Jesus in. I need him. My life, I need him. Yeah, God bless you, man. You're here, you're just saying, you know, my life is kind of a mess. On the outside, I try to make it look right, but inside, it's all kinds of stuff. I need him to come in and help me clean house. Anybody else, real quick? Yes, yes, yeah. God bless you, fellas. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Real quick. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, thanks for being so good to us, to me, that you would have kindness and mercy upon us, upon me, though I've not deserved it. You're just so good and perfect and right. Lord, you've seen these people's hands. More importantly, you've seen their heart. I ask that you would now forgive their sins, pour out your goodness and revelation. They invite you in. By their raised hand, they're saying they invite you in. You hear the call of their heart. They invite you in. Come into their heart. Come into their life. Change their life. Let things begin to change. The way they look at life. The way they make decisions. The way they live day to day. Pour out your spirit, revelation, salvation, healing. Pour out the power of your spirit that brings life into them. Resurrection life. Jesus, dwell in them. Speak to them. Bless them and guard them. Protect them from the evil one. And guard their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the... Thank you for listening to the Lifecast. The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. You can log on to our website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for listening, and join us next time on the Lifecast.